Great County Twin Lakes.
Yes.
Yeah, buddy.
Fun. We love the rocking chair.
Amen.
Oh, man.
Found the rocking chair.
Yeah, we found the rocking chair this time. Oh.
Yep.
That's nice there. So we'll be visiting those next year for sure. That is a destination. The retreat's been good. It's been really fun. Theme was about press on, which I thought was really good. You know, it's, I think we all look so forward to pressing on sometimes, and sometimes we don't look forward to pressing on. But in order to press on, you have to learn to take hold of some things.
That's right.
That's right.
Sometimes we don't want to take hold of some things. Sometimes we want to be hands off. Sad to say. And then sometimes we want to be all hands on. And then right. We find out, well, I'm too much involved in this, so somebody else can really have it now.
Yeah.
But happy to be willing to take hold of some things. We're going to look at Philippians. Actually, over there, right around the theme. And we're going to talk a little bit about a lot of things here. Philippians 3. And as we talk about press on, we're going to talk about taking hold. And so Paul here is writing to Philippians, and I love Paul. Paul begins by writing about all his accolades. And it's really in a response to, sometimes we feel like I've done so much. Look at all my rewards. Look at all of my great things I have achieved.
Right.
My name is somebody. You know, I've did a lot of things. And so Paul writes in response to like, really, really, you think you're just Mr. Big or Mrs. Big? And Paul said, well, let's talk about this in terms of if you think you're so great in God's eyes, or you've done so many great things in God's eyes, let me tell you about all the things that I've done. And over in Philippians 3, you know, picking up in verse 4, it says, though I myself have reason for such confidence, he says, if someone else thinks that they have reason to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. And so Paul's been sarcastic about it, like, you know, if we're going to measure about, hey, who can put a lot of confidence in whose flesh, let me tell you something, I'm at the head of the line. He said, circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, so he's letting you know, I'm from the original crew.
Right.
You may be adopted into the family, but I'm from the original crew.
Right.
And I was, hey, circumcised on the eighth day. He wants you to know that. Surprised he didn't give us a time or something, but he wanted to make sure you knew that. It was on the eighth day I was circumcised. He said, of Israel. He says, of the tribe of Benjamin. He's breaking it down even more. I'm from this tribe. A Hebrew of Hebrews. This is like saying, I'm a black man of all black men. Or a white person, all white person. I want you to know I'm the truth. I'm the real. Paul's like, hey, if we're going to go there, we're going to go there. You know, and he keeps on going, and he's like, he says, Hebrew of Hebrews, he says, in regards to the law, a Pharisee, he said, as for zeal, persecuting the church, as for righteousness based on the law, this is incredible. He says, I'm faultless. Like, I'm pristine.
That's bold.
Man, very bold. I'm pristine. It's like, what you got now? You know, it's like, what you got? Paul was letting you know, if you want to talk about all the things that you've taken hold of in Christ, taking hold of in the church, taking hold of in your walk as a disciple, Paul said, well, let's measure. Let's get the sticks out and measure. Mm-hmm. Paul was going to say, Paul, I want you to see that. You can't touch me.
Right.
But Paul was doing this in response to letting you know these things are worthless. Because in verse 7 he says, but whatever were gains to me, talking about all these things he just mentioned, he said, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ.
That's right.
What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ, Jesus my Lord,
Amen.
For whose sake I have lost all things.
Right.
That's right.
I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to stop right there.
Amen.
You know, if you're going to take hold of something, you're going to have to let go of a lot of things.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
If you're talking about taking hold of God, taking hold of Christ, taking hold of their values and what they have established and what they're trying to get you to see, you have to let go of a lot of your accolades.
Yes.
Yeah, it's probably going to stop with your pride, believe it or not. Pride for us is sometimes hard to let go of.
Sure is.
Sure.
It is very hard to let go of, but you have to take hold of some things. You know, watching The Chosen, that little piece last night, it was just, it was great. I loved it. It was amazing. And something that I learned, I guess I didn't learn last night, but was reminded earlier by Richard and Donald when we was having our men's meeting. We were talking about the Bible, and we were talking about how the Hebrew Bible is written different. In America, our Bible is written from left to right, and it goes vertical from up down. But the Hebrew Bible, it goes starts from the bottom, it comes this way from right to left, and it goes from the bottom up. And so when I was looking at the chosen, I was like, it's kind of like all out of whack. And the more I looked, I said, this is more of the Hebrew way they're doing it. They're doing it from this way to this way, going up. I don't know if any of you caught that, but it took me some time. I was trying to make sense of it. It was like, this is not making sense. And I know this. See, I know this. But it was great. But one of the things I thought was funny looking at that the characters are like, wow, they're really characterizing us in this movie. Mm. And it was the priest and his wife, and she was up there helping him get himself together and everything like that. And what he says there, he says, every day to you is like a catastrophe. And she's like, every day to you is like a sunny day. And I thought, that's us.
Yeah.
That is us. You may not be those characters, but some of us, every day is like a catastrophe. Mentally, like, oh, what's the worst thing that's going to happen? Oh, this is happening. Oh, the world's coming. It's catastrophe happening every day in our mind. Uh-oh. And then to a lot of us, it's like, it's a great day. Why worry?
Amen.
And we're trying to figure out, why are you so calm? Why are you not worried? It's the end. And then they're trying to figure out, trying to end the world every day. Can we just live? Can we just live as God intended us to do? Why are you trying to end the world every day? You know, if you're going to take hold of Christ, it's going to be a measure of trust.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
you're going to have to stop ending the world every day in your mind.
Amen.
You're going to have to stop dooming family members every day in your mind. Yeah. You're going to have to stop thinking about that the worst is going to happen to you every day in your mind. And for you Sunday day people, I just don't know. I say, well, you know, they're kind of on the side of Jesus because Jesus is like, it's going to be all right. You know, it's a Sunday day, you know. But I say to you, let's have a little like a little sympathy to those of us who may be like, nah, the world's going to end as soon as I step out this door. I'm going to slip on something on the floor and then I'm going to die, you know.
Yeah.
But to take hold, like Paul said, to take hold of some things, you got to let go of all the things that you keep investing into.
Yeah.
Your trophies were great, but that time has come and gone. All the great things you've done, that was okay, but that's come and gone. All the great events that you have been a part of, okay, it was good, but it has come and gone. But all the things you've done in the past, none of them equates or measures up to Christ.
That's right.
That's what God wants you to get. That's what God wants you to understand. You know, if you're going to press on and press forward, you got to take hold of what God is selling you.
That's right.
If you're going to press on and press forward, you got to take hold of the vision that Christ is trying to plant in your heart.
Right.
Amen.
To press on, do you want to take hold of Christ's vision?
Right.
Come on. To press on, do you want to take hold of God's truth? Do you want to do that?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Now, when I was a younger man, Richard, yeah. But as God allows you to progress in the kingdom and allow you to grow, you start to see some things. You're like, I don't know if I want that truth, so I'm going to skip this page. But I don't read Old Testament no more. I read New Testament. But I don't read this gospel. I read this gospel. We start doing that because although the truth is refreshing, some of it's hard for us in our lives.
Yeah.
We really wrestle with it. We do. We wrestle with it. And then we start entertaining other things. We want to be a part of other things. One thing I tell you that we do as humans is we want to find something that makes us feel good, or that is just favored in our direction, without a lot of challenges, without a lot of obstacles. Cannot me wanting to be a part of your thing? Can it just be easy and simple? Why must it be complicated? But I found out that following Jesus is only complicated when we choose not to obey.
Uh-oh.
When we choose not to comply.
Yeah. Come on.
It's just hard. But why they gotta obey? I love kids and I love grandkids. I think when you get older, you love grandkids more. Grandkids are the kryptonite that your kids may not appreciate, but you as a grandparent, you appreciate. They get everything.
Yeah, buddy.
But grandkids are God's gift to us to allow us to see what it's like raising us up.
Yep.
to making us into the people that we need to be.
Right.
So that we can be great human beings on this earth. You know, God works with us a lot through all our, who knows, if we have a temper tantrum. The Bible said we have fits of rage. Hey, yeah. May we have some, you know.
Yeah. Right.
God, like, I'm going to work with you, Steve, some grace, but I'm going to correct you on that somewhere down the road. You know, God works with us, you know.
That's right.
But, you know, to take hold of the things that God wants you to take hold, and those are God's things from His perspective, we're going to have to obey.
That's right.
We're going to have to get in line. We're going to have to comply. Grandkids sometimes don't like to comply, and they will show it.
Yep.
They will show it. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't let my grandson know. He would get that look in a minute, and he would get that voice dropped as low as I can drop it to him. Yeah, and he pays attention real fast. He realizes, okay, I did this. I'm not getting a word with Papa. And then he'll run over there. No. He runs to her, and I'm like, Daddy, go change the situation. Sometimes we want to do that. But, you know, we, as the parents or grandparents, we know what's best for our kids or our grandkids.
That's right.
God knows what's best for you.
That's right.
And the sooner we can take hold of what God knows what's better for us, things will work out. You know, pick it up in verse 10. It says, I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of the resurrection and participate in His suffering. Becoming like Him. Amen. I know. Becoming like Him in death. And so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead.
Amen.
This is not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ took hold of me. I'm going to start right there. You know, when Christ took hold of you, it's when He went to the cross.
Amen.
He didn't have to. But when He went to the cross, hung on the cross, died for your sin, that's when He was taking hold of you, even when you didn't know it.
That's right.
But Paul was making it clear, like, man, I'm aware and I get it now. I get it. And I want to take hold of Christ just as He took hold of me. I want to experience the things that Christ experienced. I want to go through the suffering He went through to have that change, that radical change in His life, to be able to step into glory and taste that. Now, when you think of suffering, you're kind of like, I don't know, Jesus. You know, I done read your story. I done read what you went through. I don't know. We go like, what's that? Especially this day. It's been redacted. We need to just draw some lines. We're going to walk all this out. And then I sign some liability for you. Okay, Christ? That's what we feel like. I don't want to go through all that.
That don't work.
But you know, God is like, you won't value the relationship with me. You won't take care of it. I find it precious. Take the easy road. Well, we all know that. We all know if we keep giving somebody something over and over and over, never allowing them to earn it in some way, form, shape, or fashion. Never allowing them to just really understand what it means to keep their hands dirty and work for it, they'll never appreciate it. Every time they see you, they'll beat you with their hands up. And they're going to expect you. But why are they that way? It's because we allowed them to get them. There you go. So Paul said, look, we didn't have a heart now to want to participate in the suffering, becoming like Christ in death. And so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Verse 12 says, not that I have already attained all this or have already arrived at my goal. And it's the dangerous place to be, we've already arrived. But I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
What's your goal in life? We got many little goals. What's the ultimate goal?
Amen.
I need to get to heaven. That's the goal. You know, this weekend, Jackson State, they really accomplished a very big milestone. That's why you see this hotel book, or the hotel's book. And so their football team made it to the, this used to be called the Soul Bowl, but now it's called something else. But in attendance, they had 55,000 people in the That's a lot. He's right. I was like, a lot of people. In the chapter of the university, 55,000 people. They have to get have people as far as St. Louis coming in. Tests everywhere coming into this. This was a big event. But I think about their humble beginnings and where they started at. He brought Deion Sanders in, and man, it's like, it happened, and it grew, and people came into support. Some people weren't even in the stadium. They said, they were just happy to be out there.
Just around the grounds.
You know, Jackson State had a plan to take gold, and they saw the gold, and they see the prize they get. Now, this is not the end of their season. They're going on the face with their SWAC board, I think it is. It's their form of NCAA big championship. But I looked at how they put all the planning in, the preparation in, and how they got the right question and said, look, this is the vision we need to have to move forward.
Amen.
And to take hold of the going right. You know, I think sometimes we get too heavy on ourselves. We beat ourselves down. We feel like, well, I can't take hold of it. I'm not worthy. I think about the chosen in that thing. I think about how they painted this picture of Mary, how she, fell off the wagon.
Right.
She slipped off, she fell backwards. And she came in, you know, and Jesus wasn't looking for it. Kind of that picture, I always thought about like what it says, you know, you'll leave the 99 sheep to go look for one. And he sent them more to go look for, you know. And just looking at all these guys, you know, and their different character makeup. But they went and found her, and she came in with the attitude, she says, I can't live up to it. And Jesus said, I'm going to ask you to. I thought, right? He says, if you give me your heart, things are going to work out.
Amen.
Do you know when you give your heart to something, you find yourself being able to live up to some form of it, even a little bit.
Right.
You'll find yourself being able to accomplish the things that Jesus wants you to accomplish.
Right.
You'll be able to take hold of Christ. I think a lot of times we beat ourselves up. Mm-hmm. We just beat ourselves up too much. And we really negate ourselves from taking hold of the things that Christ has for us. We just do that. But do you ever ask yourself why? Why do you beat yourself up? Why do you belittle yourself? Why do you think that it's not possible for you to take hold of what God has for you? Do you ever ask yourself that? Or do you spend more time and saying, no, you know what, I'm not beating myself up. I'm going to take hold of what God has for me because I believe in Him. Paul had a forward-focused vision which involved, doesn't matter what I did in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter what I accomplished in the past. All that's behind me. But I'm moving forward.
Right.
And I'm seeing things through God's perspective, through God's eyes and not my own. Do you want to do that yourself? Do you want to see your future through God's eyes? Or do you want to continue to see your future through your own eyes?
Come on, Jimmy.
My eyes are getting old and getting weak.
Yeah.
I can tell you that. Who eyes do you want to see your future through as you move forward? If you're going to take hold, watch the documentary. And you learn a lot of things about your country if you watch a lot of documentaries. Who ever heard of Oak Ridge, Tennessee? Oh, these vets. What do you know about Oak Ridge, Tennessee?
Oak Ridge Boys.
Okay, all right. What do you know about Oak Ridge?
I used to, a lot of the installations there used to be my client.
Okay. What do you do over here?
I just heard of it.
Didn't they have something to do with the large nuclear
That's
you know, we do a lot of things, but the government took hold. I'm using this, they took hold. So, this was a small town, 3,000 people, back in the 1940s. They caught wind that Japan and somebody was possibly making a nuclear bomb. And so they wanted to make nuclear bombs, but they wanted to be hush-hush. The story goes, a little boy was cutting glass. Well, God knows none of us didn't cut glass. Cutting glass. Back in that time, they had an old telephone, woman's telephone thing in the air. She received the call and said, President Roosevelt went to a senator and said, look, we need to build a nuclear bomb, but we don't need to know nobody to know about it. We don't want the president, nobody to know about it at all. Can you make this happen? She went to the senator who knew how to make it happen. He called, had his people call down, since the town was in Oak Ridge, it was somewhere, it was another name. Called out his town, and this so happened, she told the little boy who was cutting school, when you go tell your principal, you need to get here right now, we got a call. Principal came in, got the message, he went to the school, and he told all the kids to go home and tell your parents to pack up, they need to move out. The government wants your land. I said, wow, That's how they got the message. Someone was so compliant because it was in a time of war that they heard their kids say they packed up and moved right then in 3 days.
That's amazing.
That's amazing. Told your kids, and your kids went home and told you, you got to go to government once your land. A lot of moved out in 3 days. They gutted the whole land out, and they moved what was like 3,000 people in this little country town, they moved in 75,000 people. Built all these shacks. And they had signs everywhere that said, you can't tell a soul nothing. This town does not exist. Mm-hmm. And it was like that for a long time. And they built the nuclear war, the nuclear bomb that bombed Hiroshima right there in Tennessee.
What?
Never knew it. Watching the documentary.
Huh.
And the guy said a lot of women, and he had most of women's ability.
Yeah.
It was not the men. They get all these women, high school, women, got them out, they built it and everything. They said all the women would do sit there and watch a dial and make sure it was there at 2.3 for 8 hours. Just make sure. Because that was where they could get this little neutron, whatever it is, out of this uranium to make that bomb. That's all they did. And they say to this day, a lot of women don't know what they were doing, what they were making. All the women would say is that all we know is when we got in there, our hairpins would go to the wall because of the magnet was so strong. That's it.
Wow.
You know, you learn something every day. Mm-hmm. But the government took hold of a land that had 3,000 people on it, spread the message through kids. It became 75,000 people.
Huh.
Took hold of the land. You think, wow, to really kill a nation. But in the end, that same place became a place to help to cure cancer. Mm-hmm. That's where they found out they use radiation to cure cancer.
Wow.
And so now when you go to Oak Ridge, it's still there. It's a big medical facility there. But that's where they found out, not only from stopping the those in Japan, but also cure cancer.
Huh.
You know, you never know when you take hold of something, you never know what it's going to produce in the future.
Yeah.
It's going to produce in the future. We're learning a lot from our land. We're learning a lot from a lot of things. We need to not be so scared of moving forward with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
We need not to be so timid, fragile, or so on eggshells of moving forward with Christ.
That's right.
But we need to have Paul's attitude of like, you know what? I'm going to put the work in, and that work is called love. And I'm going to make sure that I move forward, leaving everything behind. I'm going to make sure that I move forward, capturing God's vision, looking at things from His perspective and not my own, so that I can take hold of heaven. So that I can take hold of heaven. You know, the work that you would do going forward, it will speak volumes about you and your character. It just will. You know, the love for what you do will reflect in the results that it produces.
Yeah.
You know, the work that you do to help others and create a following, man, will draw people to you.
Yep.
Loving people takes work.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Loving yourself takes work.
That's right.
Loving people from God's perspective. And you have to love people from God's perspective. Because from my perspective, sometimes I may get agitated. I may feel some kind of way. You know, and I gotta like, okay, I gotta sit down and talk with God about me because I'm not, you know, feeling the right way. But you gotta learn to love people from God's perspective so that you can help others. Turn me to Mark, guys. We're gonna close out here. Back over to Mark 3. Philippians was focused more on us, but now we need to focus on loving other people. That's one thing for us to take hold of what God has promised us. Mark chapter 3. To take hold of what God has for us, but we need to help other people to take hold of what God has for them. Mark chapter 3, verse 7. It says, Jesus withdrew with his disciples to the lake, and a large crowd from Galilee followed. It says, when they heard about all he was doing, many people came to him from Judea, Jerusalem, Idumea, and the regions across the Jordan and around Tyre and Sidon. I'm going to stop it there. You know, we do a lot of great things and a lot of great works, and I've talked about this before. But man, when you're out there cranking it up for Christ, people will take notice of you.
Yeah.
There's a research of this Idumea. It says, in that time, they are descendants of Esau. These people are not necessarily being connected with God like everybody else, but it's a Jewish town. But because of the great work that God was doing through Jesus was healing people, People were coming from everywhere. Coming from everywhere, you name it. If you hear about something great, you hear about somebody doing something great, well, probably for us, like, if somebody's giving out free money, you're going to start going. First, you're going to question, first, is it really free? You know, not to do anything. But if you find out that it's free, you're going. Especially if your bank's giving out free money. You want to make sure it's your money that they're not giving out. But it's free money. But you know, these guys are coming from everywhere. But one of the things that stuck out was, are they coming for the right reason?
That's right.
Are you going to God for the right reason? How many reasons have you gone to God and what were they about? Were they about God's purpose or about yours?
Wow.
Come on, Sydney.
We know each other. We're people, you know. God knows us, we people. Great example of Jesus interacting with Mary. We're people. When I saw that chosen list, I thought about Peter, the way they presented Peter and Matthew. You know, and Peter's always been casted like in the bigger light than Matthew in the gospel. But then they really focused on his character. And I was like, I can see Peter like that. And I can see, you know, Matthew like that. Because if you're attached to it, like, you're going to be a little more structured. You're going to be a little bit more like that. Peter wasn't as structured around the edges, you know what I'm saying? Especially trying to pull an egg without water. I was like, he must have served. Somebody would have been doing a lot of things for him because he's trying to boil that and method like you probably want to put some more in there when you boil that egg. But you know, you want to pursue Jesus with the right reason, the right heart, the right mental state. If you're not pursuing him with the right focus, you're going to find disappointment. You will be let down. And you will be one of those individuals who will fall away from Christ.
That's right.
Because you came in with one idea, and it was not God's idea.
That's right.
It will happen that way. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are coming to get healed. We're going to see a lot about that in the gospel. Probably a lot of it. Everybody's getting healed. Oh, he's healing everybody. He's healing everybody. Who does not want to be healed if you got a cut? That hurts. Kids get cuts in a bridge. We call it boo-boos. They're crying. They're showing like it's painful. They want the pain to stop and healing. If you have sickness, you want to heal. People are going through that. They want to heal.
Right.
But you know, a lot of these people, they're like the 10 lepers. Jesus said they healed 10, but how many came back?
One.
You got to pursue God for the right reason. A lot of people are going to go to Christ, but everybody's not going to stay.
That's right.
Only a few will come back. Mm-hmm. Are you the few or are you the masses that's going to keep going?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to go and get what you can get, take what you can get, and all right, thank you, Jesus, I'm gone. Mm-hmm. Or are you going to be part of the few that say no? You know, we got to help people to pursue Jesus with the right heart, the right mindset, for the right reasons. And that's not, and that reason is not that, oh, Jesus is just my servant. He's here to just serve me. I can take advantage of that is not the right reason. We got to help people to do that. Verse 9 says, because of the crowd, he told the disciples to have a small boat ready for him to keep the people from crowding him. For he had healed many so that those with diseases were pushing forward to touch him. You know, when people find out that you have something and they want it, I'm going to tell you, man, it's like, Black Friday?
Stampede
will crush and kill you to get it. Like that concert recently they just had with that rapper. A lot of people died. Was it 9 or 10 dead so far? Over Houston, Texas?
Yeah,
a little boy died. He's in a coma. I think it was like 9 or 8 years old. Dad on the shoulder. The crowd was trying to press so hard to get forward to this guy on stage. He passed out. But he said, pressure upon his chest. Passed him out. Son fell on the ground. He got crushed and killed. This concert is throwing a rapper. I know what I know is Drake. He's part of the concert. But Jesus, the same aspect. Jesus said, these people are crying. They're going to crush. They're going to crush us. But let me get in the boat. I know I ain't going to walk on water, you know. But Jesus is like, we need to have it structured and controlled where needs can be met. Finally, guys, whenever the impure spirits saw him, they fell down before him and cried out, you are the Son of God. But he gave them strict orders not to tell others about him. You know, Jesus wants the right people to share about him.
Yeah.
And it's definitely not a demon.
Amen.
Because if a demon shared about him, but we're going to question it.
Yes.
Are you really from God?
Mm-hmm.
It's probably the devil and sheep's clothing. Mm-hmm. What's that going to be? God said, no. You do not have permission to share about him. But those who love me, those who want to love me, those who are willing to take hold of me, those are the ones who I want to share about me. Those are the ones who I want to put the word out about me.
Amen.
Not nobody's not doing right. Ain't not only demons only, but there are some people who are not doing right in life. We're just humans, and they're just right now not doing right, but they're trying to spread a gospel they know nothing about. They're trying to spread the word about a Jesus that they do not know. They hear it word of mouth, and they want to go back and repeat it. Go back and repeat it to somebody else. But it doesn't work right. We've all played that game. You know, you tell somebody, and guess what? It don't even come out what it started out to sound like.
Right.
You know, guys, going forward, we need to have a mindset and a heart that we're going to take hold of the things that God has entrusted us with.
Okay. Amen.
Going forward, we need to be disciples no matter what comes our way. We're going to press on. There are going to be more challenges for us. There's going to be more obstacles. But we got to be like Paul. We got to press on. We got to embrace the suffering because we know that the suffering is drawing us closer to God that we may take hold of the goal, which is to make it to heaven. We got to make sure people are pursuing Jesus for the right reason.
That's right.
And not just a quick fix, gimme, gimme, gimme.
Right.
You got to make sure people are pursuing Jesus for the right reason. And finally, the things, the secrets that God, kind of like in Oak Ridge, Tennessee, the secrets that God is entrusting to you, you're going to need to entrust it to the right people.
Amen.
At Oak Ridge, they showed all these signs. They had signs up everywhere that say, don't talk. Don't talk. They had a sign say, what you hear in here, what you see in here, stays in here. They were very protective about who could know about what they were doing when they were making that nuclear bomb. As we go to share information, we need to share it with the right people. Not all people are qualified to hear the secrets of God. As crazy as that sounds, but we're going to get to the parable of the sword. You're going to see that until it blow your mind. But I studied that because Jesus is like, you know, I want everybody to hear the gospel, but at certain times, like everybody's not ready to hear it. You can't entrust them with them just right away.
Right.
You need to grow mature a little bit before you can give them a little bit more of secrets of the kingdom. And as Jesus said in the parable of the sower, he says, you know, he speaks in parable because he don't want them to understand. They can't understand the end. But to his disciples, he told them so that they could relate the information. Guys, let's be focused. Let's be fired up. Let's have a mind and heart set pressing on.
Amen.
Let's take hold. Let's make sure the people that we reach out to, that we study the Bible with, let's make sure that they understand we want them to take hold of what God is offering the right way.
That's right.
And let's make sure to always be alert and aware to not give the secrets of God to those who would trample over it and not take care of it. Guys, to our God be the glory. Thank you so much.
Amen. Amen.